that are displeasing to God, and that the things that displease God also displease us from our heart. You know, they say there's no accounting for taste. One person likes chocolate ice cream, another person prefers vanilla. It's sort of a heart issue. And I know that seems like a trite example, but it's kind of the way things are. It's like some people have problems with drugs and alcohol. Other people don't have problems with that. They have problems with haughtiness and with gossip. There's a lot of people who don't struggle with certain things. And then they dismiss, and they have some of the hardest times, I think, because they look at other people who have carnality problems, meaning fornication and lust and drugs and alcohol, lack of sobriety, all those kind of things. They see people struggling with that, and they look down their noses at those people and say, oh, how disgusting. Yeah, but they're holier than thous. They're the kind of people who think they're something, but are nothing, because they're not circumspect. They don't see the sinfulness of their ways, the sinfulness of their attitudes, the sinfulness of the way in which they look and talk to their brethren. Purity of heart is the most difficult thing to obtain. No man can make themselves pure. There's nothing I can do to I'm going to sit here and just purify my heart on my own. And if I perceive that I'm doing it, and it works, it's not me that does it. It's the Holy Spirit of God working through me to purify that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Make peace. Now, does that, again, I love the counterfactual. Does blessed are the peacemakers, happy are the peacemakers, does that mean happy are those who make peace between good and evil? That put darkness for light and light for darkness? That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Are those happy? Is that what Jesus means? That we should reconcile the wickedness and the evil? Let's make peace? Let's just have peace at all costs, at any cost? I don't think so. Jesus, he conducts a war with the Pharisees in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul, when he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass land and sea, to make one proselyte. Matthew 23, we're going to get to it. He whips them with a scourge. There's definitely things he does that stirs things up and that cause people to be upset, and that there's these warlike aspects in Christianity. Paul talks about it. We put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. All these armorers and implements and all these analogies of war and going to war and fighting the good fight and running the race. It's all this competitive fighting, warring. I make war against them that are the enemies of the Gospels. I make war with them. I stick them in the gut with the sword. I am, when it comes to that, I'm without mercy. When it comes to the truth, when it comes to standing up for the truth, I stand up and I destroy the lies and I cast them down without mercy, because I want God to cast down all that is evil in me without mercy. But I want him to be merciful to me, so I am merciful to those. I make peace with men, but not with things. I make peace with those who can be made peace with, those who will be appeased, and to those who, by the Spirit of God, have been drawn into peace. But with some men, and as much as it is possible, live peaceably with all men. And blessed are you when you are a peacemaker, for you will be called the child of God. And you know what? There's not this cut and dry thing where you can look at someone right now and say, oh, they're the enemy of God. They'll always be the enemy of God. You don't know whose peace you might be making. You might make peace with someone who's going to become a brother. Maybe you thought of them as an enemy, like the Apostle Paul. All the other apostles thought, he's an enemy. And what happened? God struck him down on the road to Damascus, and he became a preacher and an apostle appointed by God himself. So there is much to making peace. And God looks at us as his children, of those who can make peace. Peace in righteousness. Peace for righteousness and for the Lord and for the kingdom of God. But not peace, and I'm not even talking about statecraft at all. I'm talking about between people. I will make peace with you, but I will not make peace with the doctrines of the devil. I will not make peace with wicked, evil sayings. I will not make peace with lies. It is not the men I'm making war against, but I make war in the spirit against spiritual powers, against the darkness and wickedness of this world. I make war not against you know, people, but against ideas, against the things which hold them and which bind them and hold them in darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Otherwise, if it was war against people, we would just stick them. And we would just kill them. And we would just do them away. And then the problem would go away with them. But that is not the war we make. We make peace with men and war in the spirit. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For the sake of righteousness, for doing right, they suffer persecution. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Going back to the poor. Interesting. Same thing. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for other things, like being persecuted for the evil we have done, or being persecuted for the evil we are now doing, or being persecuted for being an unpleasant person. Oh, you're persecuting me. A lot of times people, what they think of persecution is not persecution at all. The word persecute is, the Greek, it literally means to pursue. Meaning they're out to get you. Persecution is when they are out to get you. When they want to get you. They are chasing you. They are following after you hard. Like bloodhounds on a fox. They want to get you and do you in. And for what sake? For the sake of the evil that we've done? It's not persecution according to Christ. You'd be very sad in that person. Yeah, I tell you what, if I were to be held to account for everything I've done, I would be a sad person. If I were to be pursued for all my misdeeds in the past, I would be very sad indeed. But Jesus says, happy are those when they are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because we know that the kingdom of heaven belongs to us. And he says in verse 11, then happy are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, when they will say, that is nasty things. That is reviling. And when they say all kinds of things. The things they say, and they say all manner of evil against you, which is false. Oh, Paul, you always this, you always that, and this is how you are, and blah, 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 and they don't know anything. And what do? I mean, to some degree, you have to answer, but then as far as you do answer someone, but sometimes you don't answer at all. To answer is actually merciful towards them, because you're giving them an opportunity to acknowledge the truth. They speak evil against you falsely. You attempt to give them the truth. And if they hear not the truth, then what can be done? What can be done?